So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Oh my God, we're so back.
We are so back.
Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. It wasn't a pleasure getting here, but now that we're up and running.
We're here.
Whole different buzz.
Whole different buzz.
We're the Schmither.
We're the Schmither. How are you?
I'm well. I've been. I watched a couple of movies this week. Got back into cinemas.
Beautiful.
After a bit of a sunshiny break over Christmas.
Yes.
And had two really nice. I ended up in the same cinema for two different films, in two consecutive nights, and so it was kind of just nice to see the variation of titles out at the moment, and also just being in a paid audience one night and being in a media screening and class of entitlement audience. So yeah, the range of experiences. Got a free soda, had to buy a soda. Good times, bad times. but those films that I did see this week are on Monday night, went to see Marty Supreme, which is the new film from Josh Safdie, starring Timothée Chalamet, a film that's had incessant and often very annoying promotion over the last couple of months.
Yes, I did see that.
I think maybe like the worst version or most annoying version of Timothée Chalamet being pushed forward at us relentlessly, whether he's like standing on top of the sphere or doing a fake comedy Zoom call. Look, some of it was great, some of it worked, but I bring my own preconceptions about Timothée Chalamet. I've liked some of his movies, but I don't think I like him.
Yeah, I'm with you. It didn't help with my feelings towards him.
Yeah, big time. Well, I also feel that the preconceptions that I had about him being a bit annoying really helped with Marty Supreme, because that's kind of the nature of his character in this film.
Oh, yeah.
But what I've never really quite got about him is where his charisma, like what his charisma is, because it must exist, right? Like sort of like see where he sits in the pantheon of actors, his ease with the camera, but it's just nothing's really, it just hasn't really translated to me before, but it really did in this film, because this film is kind of like a guy that, a bit like Timothée Chalamet, through force of will and chat and riz, just kind of like continues to plow through impossible situation after impossible situation.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily as a winner, but as a survivor, and to keep propelling this really intense story on. Very quickly it becomes apparent that Marty Supreme is not just a table tennis sports movie. It veers off in some pretty big detours. He's pursuing to be seen as a star, I think, maybe more than actually the winning itself. Like, has a huge ego, wants to be treated as a winner, wants to be on a Wheaties box, wants to be on the cover of a magazine. Is it really about victory in sport, or is it about his inflated sense of self? Again, are we talking about Timothée Chalamet, or are we talking about Marty Mauser, the character in Marty Supreme? But look, he's awesome, and he's in, you know, virtually every shot of this film. Holds attention, especially in these Josh Safdie's very close close-ups, where like it's basically just face and frame often. Yeah, so really like this from a performance point of view. Should also mention that he's surrounded by fantastic cast members.
Mm-hmm.
Gwyneth Paltrow making a really welcome return as a glamorous ex-movie star, which is a kind of a perfect part for her at the stage, having been absent for so long.
Mm.
And kind of a nice reminder about what she's able to convey through the screen as well. Like, again, in real life, maybe not so much of a fan, but here, really powerful presence.
Mm.
She's paired with Kevin O'Leary, who's not known as an actor, hasn't really acted before, but is from the US version of Shark Tank, aka Dragon's Den, a real life businessman playing a businessman.
Oh, yeah.
And it really works. I think this is a real sort of triumph in casting kind of a someone that's familiar with the camera but is a non-actor. Tyler, the Creator's great. Fran Drescher is great to see. Yeah, it's a really, really good gang that they've assembled. Notably, Josh Safdie's first film without his brother Benny since 2008. But you wouldn't know it because he's really got the normal gang together. It's co-written and co-edited with frequent collaborator Ronald Bronstein, who wrote Uncut Gems and Good Time with the Safdies.
Brilliant.
It's scored by Daniel Lepadin, or aka Wanna Tricks Point Never. It's got a very familiar kind of look and feel and sound. It is a period drama, though, and I think you can see this has been a very expensive film to make, real labour of love, but it deserves to win a whole bunch of awards, and more importantly, make some money so that more movies like this get made. And it's so far on track to do so.
Okay,
so yeah, go see that in cinemas this Thursday. There are screenings all over. They're a little bit less wide than perhaps I would have liked to see. But try and see this film on the biggest screen that you can. I caught it on the VMAX screen at Event Cinemas Newmarket. It was great in there. It sounded awesome as well. And as well as Le Patton's score, the soundtrack is... For a film set in the 50s, it's melancholy 80s bangers, and some really astute choices, and you know, sounds fantastic in a well-specced theatre. So, yeah, go check out Marty Supreme. Early contender. I mean, look, it's a 2025 film for the US, but but for Aotearoa, early contender for one of the best films you're likely to see this year. I reckon.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a real goodie.
That's high for not being a Timothée Chalamet fan.
Well, yeah, it is, isn't it? It is. But look at, yeah, it's interesting, eh? Like what people bring from their off-screen life really sometimes informs your viewing, and this character is just so insufferable. So
it all adds up.
Yeah, totally. And then last night I went to see the 28 Years Later, sort of twin sequel, 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. This was produced at around the same time as last year's 28 Years Later, and picks up very shortly after the last one left off. 28 Years Later, last year, did the thing that I get annoyed with by movies, and that's kind of, you kind of come to the end of this really gracefully told story, like really nicely structurally brought to a conclusion, and then you get like 2 minutes thrown at you, and it's like, tune in next week for this. And it was something very tonally different. So sort of having a new film sort of dedicated to a bunch of characters who, you know, were a very big juxtaposition with everything else that had happened in that last film was a pretty good idea. And it's great to see another chance at Ralph Fiennes' character being in a central position in this as well. He has a sequence set to music later in the film that is best not spoiled. But again, I think when you're sort of putting the... when you're sort of cutting together the screen moments of 2026 or collecting the memeable moments of the year, there's one in this film as well. I really, really enjoyed this. And while it's not directed by Danny Boyle, rather Nia DaCosta, it's a really great companion piece, feels like the same world. Has some interesting things to say, and some good disembowelings and skinnings and chompings and rippings and stabbings. So
bit of everything.
It's a bit of everything. Yeah. So I think that was a pretty complete week at the movies.
Beautiful.
Between Marty Supreme and The Bone Temple. Tonight, I mean, it is movie watching night, but
definitely.
Whether you should race to a theater or enjoy your couch is up to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
That's me. Until next time.
Back with a bang. Thanks so much, Steve. That was Flicks and That.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.